Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Main Street DSA, a Disney Sorcerer's Arena podcast. I am your host, Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial, and I am joined tonight on Main Street, as always, by Edamode's most esteemed guest, Matt Strebel. How are you, Matt?
I am fantastic. How are you hanging in today?
It's been a long day, but... It's been a long day, but I'm doing well.
It's been a long day now, and we'll get into why in a bit.
It's just going to keep getting longer, right? But we have a lot to talk about, which honestly, given the patch notes we got initially, I'm surprised about.
Agreed.
Because we were going to have a little bit to talk about, and then a whole lot of our Project Renovation kind of thing to discuss, but we've cut Project Renovation because we had a raid trailer drop a couple hours ago at this point. So we're going to talk a whole bunch about that. But first things first, normal Main Street Gazette stuff. Everybody hates that it gets put in patch notes, but the current events are going to continue to be events until their timer runs out. That is a thing that's going to happen. In case you were afraid that maybe they would change that, they won't. Stitch Towers on its usual rotation. So we had Triton last week. This week we get Stitch. We're also getting Coastal Conflict soon, which is not, many people have been talking about it in places that I have looked. It's not the Maui Moana event. It is the Speedstone Sorcerer's Stone event.
Maui is Coconut Crackdown.
Coconut Crackdown. I am a huge fan of alliteration. But we're going to have some more varied names here. The Incredibles, which is hugely exciting because of our affiliations. The Incredibles is my favorite movie of all time. It's one of your favorite movies of all time. They're going to be farmable starting very soon. I didn't make notes of the nodes. You can look at that in the official patch that's in your game because it's just going to take up space. But Mr. Incredible, Violet, and Dash are all going to be on nodes. Jack-Jack is going into the new PvP rewards for next season. So that's going to be really cool. I'm going to have to discipline myself to finish my Big Hero 6 team before I change gears entirely. But given that I changed gears from Kingdom to Big Hero 6 when Big Hero 6 launched, I need to not gank myself twice with a full gear shift.
Stay the path on Big Hero 6. I love my Incredibles. I am super happy that they are now farmable. And the quick version of it is both Violet and Mr. Incredible will have a grand and a node in the campaigns. Mm-hmm. However, for some reason, they put Dash in both campaigns. They put him in both the hero and the villains, I should say.
Super late.
So you have to be level 58 or later to be able to even get to those last couple of nodes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to farm him, it's only going to be those who have put in the time to get up to a Dash node. And it's going to take some work, I'll say that confidently. But the fact that he's someone that now, someone who, like myself, who has put some time into these characters, and I have all three of them at the levels of 6 stars, now I have another incentive to finish what I'm doing, because always, stay the course. Then, my next up characters to farm, I can now put that focus into someone that I would normally have to wait every 2 months to get. So I'm happy, very, very happy about that, especially for my own personal affiliations.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I was ecstatic. I did a dance. I saw the notes, and after I was like, Matt, because I was in his stream, I said, Matt, they're live. Stop telling me they're not. You're wrong. They are. And then I didn't even hear what Matt said because I threw off my headset and sprinted out of my room and burst into my wife's office. And like, I think she thought we were like the house was on fire because I just like slid across the floor. And I was like, the Incredibles are going to be farmable because I was that excited. So it's going to be fun. I'll finish my Big Hero 6 team, and then I will move onward down again and go after Incredibles instead. but because Onward has been my next project, but now it's not. So
it's always been the next project. It's the one that keeps getting bumped, unfortunately.
Yeah, it unfortunately for me too. Is. But I did figure out today during some testing that there's a super sweet Onward Merida Pete's Shadow team that I played with that was a lot of fun. Because you put Pete's Shadow on Merida, and the Pete's Shadow builds up Wisps, which amps its basic. And that was a lot of fun. And it was really fun to see Barley calling in multiple Merida autos with full four Wisps on those Shadows. I was getting a kick out of it. It's not meta, but I don't care.
That's cool.
It was fun. All right, and let's ask one question, and then we're going to get into the big news that everybody cares about. This is the third time Elsa's been around. My wife unlocked Elsa this past week. I can no longer outright beat my wife's defense team anymore because not only did she know she was going to get Elsa, she hoarded runes so that when Elsa came around, she shot right up to the upgrades on Show Yourself and Force of Nature, whatever it's called. And so now I actually have to really seriously try, and it's hit or miss if I can beat my wife's defense team these days. You play in a high enough PvP bracket that it probably hasn't had a big impact on you that Elsa's around for the third time. Would that be a fair assessment?
It would be fair, considering my Elsa this past go-around was only at 5 stars, and with this event I brought her to 7. And for me, seeing the big difference of her casting off Show Yourself and the difference between putting out a 6,000 versus an 8,000 hit is what I basically saw out of it. It helps, don't get me wrong, but having her unlocked even at 5 stars, just lock versus unlock, that's where the bigger difference obviously is going to be for me. I didn't notice it in the world of, like you started to say, with PvP. You know, you're going up a bot version versus going up a live version of Elsa is a completely different beast.
And that's completely where I saw it. As a gold player, someone in gold, all of a sudden seeing all these Elsas that were not there a week earlier. It changed my whole PvP experience because all of a sudden I went from I was facing, in gold you face some low tier meta teams. There's a lot of kingdom teams still down in gold, but you usually face a mishmash of people's favorites that they've just leveled up a ton.
Right.
Now I'm facing full frozen squads or four frozens and Big Bad Wolf. Or,
I see what you're saying.
And it's a different world to play PvP in when all of a sudden everyone's got Elsa now.
That was more what I had the last time around for me. Because the very first time when she premiered, I did not unlock her. And I was still, you know, silver-ish at that time before, you know, the tentacles of the Kraken came out. And then the second time around, once I also had her unlocked, I thought I would have just as meta of a chance, like, yes, finally. And I did see it that go around. This go around, third time for me, you know, I'm in a high enough tier where many people play her, but we're also now in the era of BH6. Yep. So I don't know. It's a tough one to see. What I am seeing more of, and I will say this, is similar to what I had, where you had Elsas that were geared up to gear tier 6 or 7, but only at 5 stars.
Yeah.
I don't see the 5-star Elsas really as much anymore. In our club alone, we had 8 people bring Elsa to 7 stars this go around solo.
Yep. Yeah, it's very interesting, and I like that part of our dynamic is that we have such a breadth of A, how long we've been playing, but where we're at in the various stages of the game, because these events have an impact on every player, but they're very different. And the impact they have on my level of play versus my son's level of play versus my wife's versus yours or some of our friends like Pyre Barstool, those are very different worlds to interact with these events. Because obviously people like that have been seeing those 7-star gear tier 7 Elsas for a long, long time already. Whereas you haven't, and I have not at all. I'm kind of lucky down in gold because Big Hero 6 is still tedious enough of a farm, and a lot of people were still on the Frozen train, and so my Big Hero 6 team stands a chance because I didn't unlock Elsa this time around. I'm not even close because I have put no real effort into my Frozen team beyond Anna and the free tokens from Kristoff through club stuff. But everybody else is low tier. So it has been nice to stay kind of ahead of the meta there, but as it continues to evolve, it's a scary place out there in the frozen wastelands of Elsa Land. So,
but it can also be wonderful.
I'll believe you. Maybe when I eventually possibly unlock Elsa. Frozen's just not, it's not on my radar. I find her to be so dang cheesy and so dang overpowered that it turns me off to want to chase it, if I'm honest. Like, I don't like it.
I understand, because I can't even tell you how dirty I felt bringing Olaf to 7 stars just to have Elsa to 7 stars. So for me, I kind of felt if the toons that you were farming had more strength behind them, you wouldn't feel as bad farming them.
Yeah.
So you look at who you're stuck with, if you will, when you boost up a Frozen team versus when you boost up a BH6 team. Wasabi has great strength by himself. Gogo has great strength by herself. Hero and Honey Lemon are in the meta in any version of it you want to try to throw at me. Put one of the two of them in there, if not both of them in there. And then Fred is rediscovering a new home on top of that. So each of those characters have different playabilities, whether you keep them together, whether you break them up into different ways. There's a lot you could do with those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Olaf doesn't have a strong enough kit in general, even as a support. Sven is entirely dependent on being paired with Kristoff. And if you're not using them together, you're dropping 2 or 3 tiers of playability for Sven by himself. Kristoff is great. Anna is great. Now with everybody else out, they're only great. They're not awesome. They're not meta. They're great.
They're still, they're A-tier characters now instead of the S-tier.
A+.
Yeah. And that is one of the things in my personal Sorcerer's Sojourn that I've liked, is I looked at Fred and I said to myself, people are sleeping on how good this character is. He is better than anyone is giving him credit for, because he is being overshadowed by how broken Baymax is. But I knew I wasn't getting Baymax.
Oh, he's broken.
And I knew I wasn't getting Baymax. So my Fred is actually my highest Big Hero 6 tune. And my Fred slaughters people. Because when your taunt can burst as hard as his, you know, jump on somebody's head can and put out that, you know, that massive damage. He doesn't put out vulnerable yet because I'm not gear tier 7 to unlock that. But it hits like a truck, and he can take a hit and keep on coming. Like, I feel like Fred is still majorly, majorly slept on as a thing. So we'll have to see. But let's take a second, and I have to ask you a question, Matt. Mm-hmm. It's a very important question, but...
I'm ready.
Are you ready to raid?
Are you ready to raid?
Yes!
So today, we got a 10-second, and it's not even 10 seconds, because, like, 5 of those seconds are literal credits, right?
Yep, literally.
We got a trailer, and we're going to break it down here. And I apologize. I know there are people out there in listener land who wanted to watch gameplay, and I forgot to hit the button to turn it on when we started talking. We've been sitting on the logo the whole time, but now we're going to get raid trailer. And we're going to go through that, and then I will eventually turn the gameplay back on. My family has been sick, so it will be last week's gameplay still, because I didn't capture any new gameplay, but there will be
still
something.
Good.
So let's talk here about this raid trailer. I'm going to play it real quick just for everybody. I didn't leave the credits on and stuff at the end. It's just cut down to be the actual thing. We're going to play it really fast, and then we'll talk about it. So cards come down. Ursula comes out. Get the Ursula. And she throws out a bunch of abilities. Bing, boom, boom. Moana almost dies. And we're back to the beginning. So let's talk about some of the easy-to-notice things here in the raid. First things first, they have helped quell some of my fears by having an incredibly diverse, non-synergistic team of people present on the battlefield. So that makes me feel a little bit better that we're not going to be... You can only participate in the raid if you have these specific characters. So that's good. Ursula's going to come down. I think the Ursula model looks great. I am a huge fan of the environment that we're fighting in. It's going to be awesome. So there's the Ursula reveal. And here we are looking at just the UI itself. So on the screen with the UI, we can see first things. Let's talk. And I'm going to talk at you, and then you can respond to me. Just cut me off whenever you have something to say. Because I have not talked to anybody about this yet. So this is my excitement time. You got it all out on your stream a little bit. I haven't done that
yet. I got the first part out. Bring it on, though.
Yeah. So first things first, top left, you can see that there are waves to this encounter. There's some interesting thought processes there. I have seen people in Discords talking about it. I think we're clearing trash to get here. I think we're going through flotsam and jetsam. I think we're going through the sea polyps, which is what she turns the people who fail to pay their contracts off into, is what they're called. I think we're going to go through a bunch of trash mobs in three waves to get here to whittle down characters before we get here. That's my stance on it. Especially given if you look at the health meters of all of these people before Ursula has even revealed herself. Ursula literally just dropped down onto the ground, and Ariel's almost dead. Wasabi is very low. So I think we're going through trash. What are your thoughts on the wave counter at the top?
So with the trash side, I'll agree with you. I think we're going to see some new tunes on the defensive side of it. I disagree with you with Flotsam and Jetsam being tunes that we will battle against. I feel like they're going to be incorporated into her kit, specifically because in this top corner where it shows her card icon, it shows Flotsam and Jetsam integrated within it. So for that reason, I feel like they're probably going to be a part of a summon, a part of a passive, or the leader ability, which has been hidden in the top corner as well. I think that those tunes, specifically Flotsam and Jetsam, are part of her kit. They're not going to be separate. The fact that you're seeing Ursula in wave 3 of 4 coming out like this also raises a lot of questions, because to me it goes, what's 4 of 4? We've been talking about Ursula, 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 Ursula. And then as I look at everything else, which you'll get into too, I'm trying to decipher what is going to come next.
Yeah.
After Ursula on wave 3. Yep. How much are you going to build up on top of it?
Yeah, and I guess thinking about that 3 of 4, I don't feel like there's another boss. Like, I don't think we're going to suddenly magically see Maleficent is behind everything. Like, I just, that would be a interesting surprise, but I don't buy it as a thing. Mm-hmm. And that brings to mind some of the things I've seen on various Discords where it's like you're going through waves of Ursula. So it's like you fight this Ursula and then you fight Ursula again after she heals, which I hope isn't the case, because that sounds dreadfully boring.
For me, what would be really intriguing is if you went through a wave of polyps, for example, and then you went through maybe a second wave of polyps or other tunes, or we see that, you know, the turtle crush and the other mermaids, which we battle against currently, those maybe in wave one, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. Wave three being Ursula. What if wave four is the Triton version of Ursula? She's got the crown. She's got her own trident.
That'd
and
cool.
It's that mega awesome evil laughter Ursula that you see at the very end of the movie. Spoilers. I think that could be a really cool four of four.
Mm-hmm.
To see that transformation where, yes, you defeat this one and now...
And I think, I think that's a great thing to have hidden if that's the case, right? I mean, it goes back to the... I know you haven't played necessarily a bunch of World of Warcraft, but there's a period of time where World of Warcraft and bosses had hidden phases that you only saw on the hardest difficulty and that were never put on testing. They were never data mineable. You didn't know they were there. It was just, bam, there it is. And you suddenly had to deal. And I think that'd be super cool. I don't know, if I'm honest, if it's in Glue's wheelhouse, but I think it would be super cool. Moving on, let's talk up here. You can't see my cursor on screen chat, but we are looking at the top right of the screen. That's a leadership ability up there floating in the top right. Oddly enough, that leadership ability and that spell look very similar, just colored differently. Something to keep in mind that I want to disclaim before we go forward. All of this is subject to change. These may not be final artist. These may not be what the UI ends up looking like in the end. This may be our teaser, and then it comes out and we see things differently. Because let's face it, top clubs have top minds sitting around in buildings right now, specifically probably Discords and like Zoom, doing exactly what Matt and I are about to do, which is dissecting the crap out of this trailer in order to try and get a leg up on the race. So it's entirely possible that some of this stuff is just placeholder art. So, for example, that may not be the correct icon for the leadership. It harkens back to what you were saying about the fact that the eels are in her card art, and maybe it's part of her passives or abilities, but I'm not seeing anything in her ability stuff that shows eel imagery. So that's one of the other things to keep in mind, is maybe not everything's final. So take everything we're saying as speculation. This is as tinfoil hat as it gets, and we'll be good. So you mentioned on your stream that you noticed a whole bunch of intimidates out on this raid roster. And you speculate that that's related to her lead.
I do, because of everything you see on the screen that correlates to it. So if you're listening, you see five toons on the field. Three of those toons have two intimidates on them, and two of the toons don't. The three toons that do are also the three toons that are due next to come up in the turn meter in the bottom left corner, in the turn screen. So what that speaks to me is that the two toons that only have one intimidate have already gone. They've used a turn, which means it has cooled it down. But the fact that there are multiple intimidates on other toons right now, the way I'm looking at it is that it's either correlated to that leadership ability or is a factor of what the raid will automatically have as an effect. Just like when you go into an event and certain defenses have certain boosts that they typically wouldn't have if you face them in a campaign, for example, this could be a feature of the raid, or it could be a feature of Ursula's kit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a on-turn start. You have a automatic two-turn intimidate inflicted from Ursula to the opposing team. And looking at the turn counts that come after in all the imagery in the bottom left corner and everything we see on the battlefield, it looks like that will be inflicted in either of those two, for either of those two reasons, whether it be the raid or Ursula's kit. I'm leaning towards Ursula's kit because I don't see anything else yet on just these 5 seconds of actual gameplay imagery that we see that screams to me what these intimidates could possibly be. It's automatically there, looking at how much health is already currently gone, who has what and why. I can't deduce anything else except those two things.
So you have your game pulled up, and I do not, because running podcast. What triggers Unstoppable in Moana's kit?
Unstoppable should be triggered from Bo Peep's taunt.
Okay, from Bo Peep's taunt. Mm-hmm. All right. Because
on the those who aren't looking, on the screen, the mishmash of characters they decided to put into this little preview trailer was Elastigirl, Ariel, Moana, Bo Peep, and Wasabi. Now, you said that you don't see anything with the mishmash of characters. I do. I think that they are very heavily trying to tell us these are the teams you're going to need. And the reason I think so is because I think we're going to see BH6 come around again. I've heard rumor that raids are possibly going to start in about 2 weeks' time. I think that next week we're going to get an announcement that BH6 is back. So with that all put together, I feel like out of all of these waves of who you're going to need and how and why, the Incredibles are going to be important, which is why they're coming back and they're now going to be farmable. Toy Story is here currently, which is why Bo Peep is in the imagery. BH6 is BH6, just you should be farming it anyway. And then Moana on top of that. She's the only one that stands out a little differently to me. I think that those five teams, the Oceanic, the Aerial team, we'll call it, whether it be Triton or your own free-to-play variation with Captain Hook, I think Incredibles, BH6, and Toy Story all have a home of importance. And it could have been a master plan from way back in the beginning, which is why they gave us certain tower mutators a couple weeks back. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But what I think is that these toons, in the way that they're laid out, are not supposed to have any synergy. And I've gone through their kits in my head over and over and over and over and over again. The only synergies I see within them is a little bit of slow synergy, and that's about it.
Yep.
And a little bit of defense down, and that's about it. But there's nothing that screams to me except for maybe they're showing this for a reason. Again, tinfoil hat.
Yeah. But, given the fact that in our patch notes last week, where they put RAID as the headers to their, the first letters to their sentences to tell us about raids, I could see that.
Stupid acrostics.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit. So this is watching the trailer. And again, for those who are not seeing, I apologize. I did not think about how to make this work. Go and watch the trailer when you can, because it's really good, and pick it apart like crazy as you listen. So as we're watching the trailer, Ursula comes out and Bo Peep's taunt goes off. I don't have Bo Peep. I've literally never looked at her kit at all. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. is her taunt and ability? What's triggering her taunt? Because I assume that's what the little bouncy person behind Moana is.
Yeah, that's Giggle McDimples. It's a defense up, it's a unstoppable, and it's a taunt. So you're forcing taunt to one of your own players automatically is what her ability will then do. And then Giggle McDimples will give the defense up for as long as she's there. And then once the turn ability comes back again on Bo Peep's kit, you can move it to another player if you want.
Okay.
It has good synergy outside of Toy Story as well. For example, if you put it right now, if you're looking at the big giant meta, putting Bo Peep and Donald Duck together is actually a great synergy because he has counter on top of it. So you put the taunt on Donald with the extra defense up, and then no matter what, they're hitting him, he's countering. They're hitting him, he's countering. They're hitting him, he's countering. It's a great, great effect, but Bo Peep is just not a high enough tier character that people have wanted to invest in her or not. In this setting, putting it on Moana, I don't think we should be looking into what they chose to do from an offensive side. I'm looking at everything that's happening from the defense because Ursula's kit has a lot in it that's been revealed that needs to be dissected. Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to dissect the edit because it is very clear that we are mid-fight, and so the Ursula reveal does not transition directly into this. So Bo Peep's turn just happened in the trailer, and now we're getting Ursula's turn. So I'm dissecting the edit here.
Yeah, it's an edit.
Which brings us to a couple of questions here. So we can see that giant yellow speed bar on the video. Mm-hmm. So you have your orange bars up top. You have your red bar, and you have your yellow bar. I would probably hazard a guess that the red bar is her health on this massive 250 level character. As for the orange bars, I don't know what they are necessarily. I don't know if you have seen any speculation from anybody or you have any thoughts on what the orange bars are.
Phases.
Okay.
They are four phases of this specific node. So if you have your team in here, if you will, and you've run a so-and-so team specifically, so you run this exact composition that they did and in the trailer and it worked, you knock off one of the phases.
Okay.
Then somebody else can go in with another team or the same exact team and go ahead and do it. That could be a second attack on, okay, you've gone through phase two, which might be a little stronger. You might see one or two more polyps. You might see one, an extra flotsam for some reason. It could be something of that nature. The phases is probably my best guess.
Okay.
But...
And as we're looking up at the top...
It's tough.
I do agree, now that you have mentioned that, I do think, as you look at the top, you can see, again, for those not watching, the far right orange bar is partially depleted, although barely. So I think that is her universal health phases, essentially, where you're whittling her down as a club. So you're facing the red health bar. That's what you and your team are facing. Your club are facing those orange health bars, is my thought process. That may also then tie into reward tiers, the more phases you whittle down before time expires, as a thing. So that yellow speed meter. The yellow speed meter is when she's going to get to go, obviously, because that's when everybody is. What I am looking at, so unless I don't, we don't get another fancy edit as I go frame by frame. Something, at least I don't think we do. Something I am noticing is she firing two abilities in a turn?
Not in a turn. So if you really get very close to it, you can see that she has just cast off an ability also. Grasping Tendrils. Grasping Tendrils is the name of the ability that once you, her turn starts, she's inflicting a silence upon Ariel. Okay?
Right.
And then as the camera changes or the cut happens, you see that in the abilities that are imaged in the top, as you continue on, that ability now grays out entirely. Then it continues on, and then obviously she has her awesome, awesome animation of throwing the potion into the cauldron. It does a mega attack. And right at the very end, then you see that second ability fade out.
So and that's where ability. I'm getting confused. What I'm getting confused on is the art in the icons. So looking at the art in the icons, the silence going off, to me, screams that contract ability. Because when she takes Ariel's voice is when Ariel signs the contract. So to me, my brain went there. The next art, that purple one in the middle, for those listening and watching the trailer on your own, that purple one in the middle looks like Ursula doing exactly what she does in this animation, which is her throwing her ingredient into the cauldron, and then there's the big burst of damage. And then as the turn comes to an end, both of those abilities gray out. So that's where my brain went on the possibility of firing both abilities at once. Because in Raid Shadow Legends, bosses do. When they come up at the same time, you get nailed with both abilities. That's just how it works. So that was where my thought process was I was looking at the art and comparing two animations, because this doesn't look like the art that, in my opinion, we ought to be seeing from the contract signing, which is what that yellow page indicates to me, is that is the, you know, the boss is on a roll contract signing from Poor Unfortunate Souls. And if we don't get an ability called Poor Unfortunate Souls, I'm going to send a really, really mean Discord message to Militia Meathead.
I think that's probably going to be the basic. It better be, at least. But the thing that you miss then is once that ability fires off and attacks Moana, Moana's debuffs change. She mm-hmm. now gains 2 continuous damage from yep. that attack automatically. So yep. that effect, then having that attack, I believe that the out of the 3 abilities that you see of Ursula up top, the middle one mm-hmm. grays out because that's the silence. It's a straight up silence ability. Okay. It does not do any damage because Ariel is already starting the battle with very, very little health, barely surviving. Mm-hmm. But then she has the silence move put on her. Okay. So there's that portion to it. Then she does this grasping tendrils boom and like slowly doing it on my own screen at the same time. And when she gets smacked, then you see the continuous damage. Right. Then the contract grays out in the last 2 frames of that portion of the clip. So it is 2 effects. I don't know if every time she's going to use 2 effects in the same turn. I don't know if Bo Peep's turn technically was the reason that her card flickers in the very beginning of the clip,
mm-hmm.
as it Bo Peep was ending her turn, if you will, for the unstoppable.
Yep.
It's really difficult to see, but it looks like she is getting those 2 abilities in 1 shot.
Yeah, it definitely,
but they are 2 separate abilities.
Yeah, they are definitely 2 separate abilities. It just, yeah, I think it will be interesting to see because, again, I'm living in the not everything is final world here just because mm-hmm. of how many of these kind of trailers I have seen for other games. Because to me, I am very much just my brain can't get over the flavor dissonance of if the silence does not come from the Golden Contract ability and the ability that looks like the potion brew doesn't, you know, become the potion brew. Right. It's just there is a cognitive Disney fan dissonance there that I don't care for. So we will have to see how that plays out as a thing. Yeah, it does look like she's firing off both of those effects in a single turn to mm-hmm. me, which they have the same magic cost. So I feel like we're constantly going to get those effects in the same turn, because those both to me look like they have 4 magic as
yes,
a cost.
They do.
So if they are both going off in the AI every time, flavor wise, that makes sense because she creates the contract with her cauldron, right? Remember, she does her spell, she throws all of her stuff in, puffs of smoke, contract comes out, Ariel signs it with the lightning bolt pen, and you know,
it's a fish
that causes a lightning bolt.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Like, but she's not holding a lightning bolt. She's not Zeus. Wrong movie.
No, she holds the fish quill, right? It's the fish skeleton, and she goes and goes right. And lightning bolts. But that'll be interesting because the way, for example, bosses work at the end of Raid Shadow Legend dungeons is they have that big long speed bar. Their abilities charge up as they get turns, the same way our magic system works, and they can fire them off when they overlap, but they don't always overlap. Those are going to always overlap. Those are always 4 and 4. So mm-hmm. from a flavor perspective, that's actually super cool that we're going to see both of them hit at the same time.
It'll be probably every 3 turns, though. That's mm-hmm. the thing, because think about it. She'll use both of those. Then the next go around, if she gets 2 turns again, that means it's basic. The next turn is basic. There's your 4 turns, which means every 3 appearances of her attacking,
yeah,
it'll end up being.
And I do wonder if that's how it will work.
That double smack.
Because in Raid, it isn't. That's not how it works in Raid. It doesn't count as 2 turns. The boss just fires all available abilities when their speed meter comes up. But it's still 1 tick. It's still 1 turn tick. And that's how my brain is processing this, is Ursula's turn comes up. She will fire off all available abilities and then take a turn. But we will have to see, because if she can do 2 abilities and she double basics us back to back, that's also going to be nasty as a thing. So we will have to see how that goes. What else are we looking at here? We also have over there on the left-hand side, below our settings, our speed, and our auto, there is the chat bubble. For those of you who play with chat previews enabled, we don't have that in other places. Now, there are a couple of things here. Marvel Strike Force does. Your chat is always up if you have it turned on. It doesn't matter if you're in the campaign. It doesn't matter where you are. It's always there. On some level, I wonder if this is just a change. If this isn't raid specific, if we're just going to get chat the way a lot of our contemporary games have them. Or if this is raid specific. Because if this isn't live, per se, if you're still in a turn-based environment by yourself, what good are call-outs as a thing?
So what I'm hearing from those who have played, you know, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes as well, it's mainly for raid-specific conversation. And what it'll be dedicated towards is, hey, I'm in this battle. Don't follow up. I'm about to beat Ursula. I'm mid, you know, battle. Because one of the things that I don't see in here is a timer. I haven't seen a timer at all pop up. No. So because there's no timer pop up, I think it's going to be like when you're going through a campaign, you can take your sweet time, if you will. Good. No pun intended with it.
I hope so.
Exactly. So allow you to really plot out your strategy. I do think it's going to be an option to use in game, but for those who are using other resources like Discord or Line or WhatsApp or any other communication method within your club, I don't know of how necessary it's going to be. We have all been begging for more communication abilities in game, but not like this. We've asked for direct communication, one-on-one that you could, you know, send messages to your team members or to on your friends list. You know, send an invite to your club is one thing, but to send a message to somebody is another. Yeah. We've been asking for that for weeks now, and it might be in development, who knows? But the raid-specific chat, I think, will be exclusive for only visible when you're in the raid mode, if you will, within the game, which I think is going to pop up on the main gameplay screen. I think the middle feature where we always see the events is going to just drop down, and then above it, I could envision the raid node module, whatever it ends up being, planet, whatever you want to call it, in this floating environment. That's what I would assume would probably be easiest to program, also thinking about glue. So that would be my envisionment.
Makes sense. Yeah. I can definitely see either version of that. I do think that it would be good if they caught up with their contemporaries, where chat's just there if you want it to be. And you can send direct messages. That would be good. Officer chat, club co-leader chat in-game would be good. I know a lot of groups do use Discord or Line or... Line, that's so crazy to me. Discord or Line or WhatsApp or something like that. But, like, we need some management tools in the game as a thing. We should never have to rely... We should never have to rely on an outside source in order to function. We should have all of these tools available to us in game. And it definitely is a pet peeve of mine that even if, you know, for Endemode's design team where I am a co-leader, we will still use Discord. That's what we're going to do because it's more convenient as a thing. But at the same time, it would be good to have the option otherwise, because if Discord goes down, which Discord is known to do, then what are you going to do? So I could see that being a thing, being just in raids. So a couple other things. What else are we going to talk about here? Do you have any other thoughts on raids? We are pushing into the 46-minute mark of talking. So... do you have any other thoughts on raids as a thing?
I mean, based off what we've seen just in these animations alone, you know, and in actual animation, one of the things I definitely need to call out is that I absolutely love the animation of Ursula and how they've interpreted it. I do like you know, just even the simple spell of taking the potion and throwing it into the cauldron and seeing it come up. It is a beautifully made animation. It's one of the things that they've done overall in this game really well, consistently, is that every new character that's come out, they've made great looking, interesting to watch animations. And even if you see the same animation over and over again, I still love watching Elsa perform the bridge. I think it's a beautiful AoE, unavoidable attack. It's just, it looks great. They've always been good at doing that kind of stuff. So kudos to Glu on that aspect of the game. I love the layout of this land that we are, this battlefield that we're battling in. And I love the emergence of Ursula. The emergence of Ursula is something that I think you can't ignore, because yes, I do believe that it is a cut, a very heavily edited thing where her emerging at this point and then showing her, but then all of a sudden you're in wave three.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a specific cut, but I also think that Ursula, as we talk more about it, I believe she'll be in all four waves. Mm-hmm. In some way, shape, or form. Whether she, maybe she appears in her human form, whose name is eluding me at the moment. Maybe she...
Oh, come on. You know, I literally wrote this down specifically for this. Continue talking. I will find where I wrote it down.
Got it. Maybe, you know, we see that form. We see this form. We see the evil Triton version form. And the fourth one is the only one that I can't seem to assess, because it would have to be one, a weaker, you know, wave two, wave one version of her, or maybe it's just the polyps. But the
other thing is, sure. And I have played, Vanessa is the name, by the way.
Thank you. That would have bothered me. Thank you.
Yep. But having been playing some Marvel Strike Force as my casual game, your waves, you get a different kind of waves. You actually just get an enemy count rather than actual wave one, two, three. But at a certain point, you will get more enemies, even if you haven't cleared the board of what's been placed there. So you can be sitting at like, oh, well, the game thinks I have 8 of 12 left. I just killed this one guy, but there's still two guys there, and suddenly here come the other five guys, right? So I could see the waves being, Ursula's always there, but the waves progress as we kill adds. And so it just lets us know how many more add waves we are looking at seeing. I think if there is a time for Glu to make PvE more dynamic, because that's something about Marvel Strike Force's PvE that I have noticed, is it feels, because of the way your waves interact with each other, and the way, you know, you can go from, oh, I've got two guys left on the board, I suddenly kill this guy and bam, all of a sudden we've got a whole bunch of guys, or they have outlast kind of things where it's like, protect this particular NPC, like, you know, where we get Gizmo or we get whatever in an event, protect that NPC for this amount of turns. This NPC has to stay alive, so you have to strategically deal with damage dealers and healers and whatever. If there is a time for Glu to step up their PvE game and make it more dynamic, raids is the time to do it. And so I would love to see Ursula's just always there. She's independent of the wave mechanic. The waves are her adds, because that will feel like a raid to me. Crowd control and add management is a fundamental aspect of every version of raiding I've participated in AAA titles. So seeing good ad control and management in a mobile title would be great, in my opinion. So I'd like to see it.
The only other thing that I could hope for looking through it is, we kind of referenced it back in the very beginning, with the leadership ability drawing, if you will, that looks exactly the same. There's two different scrolls, if you will, between one of her abilities and what her leadership ability is. They look very, very similar. However, what if it's finally the mythical leadership we're looking for? What if it's a leadership for oceanic villains? Because we saw that happen with Toy Story. We had a Toy Story leader, and then we had a Toy Story villains leader come later on. So it could be going down that same path also. I would love to see it as a possible, keyword, a possible Oceanic villain leader, because it would explain the synergy that Davy Jones now has, where he has a specific effect that, ability that synergizes with Oceanic villains. So now you've got a nice looking trio between Captain Hook, Ursula, and Davy Jones. So you got another trio, just like you did the Toy Story villains. So Club Conquest now takes a new turn. If you get Ursula unlocked eventually, how do you make those work? I mean, there's so many different directions that
It could just be the lair. In addition, it could just be the, you are in a raid lair right now, the same way towers have modifiers on them when you do, you know, you have the obnoxious summoner's challenge where, oh, you put a harmful effect on me, we all get to go faster as a thing, right? It's possible that scroll is just, it could just be the lair. So I am really excited. I really hope these are right around the corner, because I feel like we have been getting raid teased for too freaking long, and the community is up in arms about how long it has been, and they need to give us raids.
I have heard 2 weeks from tomorrow. I have heard over and over and over, looking somewhere around 2 weeks from, you know, we're looking somewhere between the 11th and the 14th. Is what I'm hearing. I don't know if that'll actually happen.
Yeah, we'll see.
But that's what I'm hearing right now within the deep, deep depth of conversations. And, you know, if you were to mine deeper into Discord.
Which we both know I don't do. I avoid it. But, all right, so... That's our raid discussion. We're not going to have much more raid speculation, because hopefully we will see more information on raids in the next patch notes next week. I hope that this is our teaser, and then we get our kind of prep to an extent, and then, you know, that'll be a make or break for me, is we need to get some level of prep that tells us what to expect in terms of function, but not information that's going to make people be able to beat the raid easier. That is going to be the huge thing, is what do I need to prep, but not how do I win. I think that if Glue can pull that off, then that'll be good. So that's their challenge.
I'm gonna interrupt you there. I think we are gonna get that, because one of the things that they have done very well is, as you start the game, every notion of the game, you go through a tutorial, and most of them stopped right around, you know, you unlock every ability of what you could do in this game at level 28. So I think that raids is going to be something that is going to have a minimum level requirement. I think it's not going to be for everybody. I think it's going to be one of those that level, just like Club Conquest is level 20, I would expect this to be level 20 just as much, even laterally, maybe a little higher, 24.
Yeah, I feel like highest. It might be 30.
Will be maybe, who knows? But I think with the club synergies, I wouldn't be surprised if it's somewhere in that, you know, no higher than 30. I'd be a little upset if it goes a little higher than 30. But I do feel that shiny object syndrome. Now, I was talking layers, not going to lie. Completely lost my thought process. It's gone. It's completely gone. Live on air. It's gone. I have no idea what I was talking about. Now I'm rambling.
I also do not know what you were talking about. You were talking about Glue giving us the correct amount of tease without messing up.
We're going to get a tutorial. We are absolutely going to get a tutorial. If they're smart, they're going to release the tutorial maybe a day or two before, where it's something we can click in, but then the first raid won't be available for 2 days. That's what I think would make the most sense.
Yeah, we'll see it, but I would love a pre-event. I would love a... Next week, we get a pre-event that's like, hey, this is what raids will be like. And it's there for 1 week. It doesn't really have any kind of rewards, but it lets you get started, lets you know what's going on, and then lets you prep. We won't get it, but it's something that I would love to see as a thing. But that's coming from a AAA history. It's, you know, where I'm at. Okay, two quick questions, then we got to get out of here.
Bring it on.
Where are the rest of the Sensational Six? Are they coming? Will we get Pluto and Minnie? Or do they not exist? Did we get the terrific three?
No. I think we got, well, I think we got the three. But I think that they will come, and I will be ecstatic if Glue does something manipulative within it, which is they release raids, and then you can click all of these nodes, and then further up you see nodes that will require Pluto and Minnie. And then a week later, we get the second half of the Sensational Six. And then all of a sudden, everybody absorbs into it because it's going to be needed. And then you had to farm these ones. So maybe they bring the Sensational Six Part 1 back again to give us time to possibly unlock Donald for those who didn't the first time through. Like, it could have that feel. I would not be surprised in any way, shape, or form if they brought back Sensational Six Part 1 again before bringing Part 2 back. But into game.
I want Minnie, Pluto, and Mickey as raid rewards. I want them as the interim raid rewards along with Ursula tokens. I want raids to be able to give me four characters. It's ambitious and it's greedy, but I don't want, I'll be honest, I don't want another event. I don't want another, do you have these three people? Now you can farm this one. No, I don't want that. It's boring. It's been overdone a million times. We need to see a new formula. Show me something a little bit different. Surprise me and put those last three characters in as raid rewards.
I could see them doing that with Mickey specifically. I could see, but for part two, being that they've listed the first one as part one, there will be a part two. So I wouldn't be surprised though if they did, and I've said this before, it kind of overlaps, if you will, where part one has Daisy, Goofy, and Donald, and then part two is actually Donald again, followed by Minnie, Pluto, and some other combination. I could see that very much so happen.
It is totally a thing I could also see. And I do agree. I had forgotten that it is labeled as part one. So we will eventually see it. The other thing to keep in mind, people, is they have said that, and we didn't go through the dev Q&A because there's a million YouTube videos that already did, number one, but number two, it's also very long. But there will be currency keys, quote unquote, like there are in Marvel Strike Force and the Star Wars game, that you unlock through play that get accumulated that allow you to open and run a raid. Raids are not going to only be there every few weeks. They're not going to be. I have seen that from people who haven't read the raid Q&A where they're like, oh, well, is this another event that's going to just do they only come and go like Frozen does? No, they're going to be there. You just have to unlock them. And it's going to be something your club builds up to. And if I had to guess, and Glue, if you haven't done this and you watch this podcast, which you should, make it so only co-leaders and leaders can activate your raids. Because I know in Marvel Strike Force, it isn't always that way, and it causes problems. So make it so leadership can turn on raids, not everybody.
I believe, keywords.
Did it get mentioned in the Q&A?
As you say it, there's something dinging in me right now. Like, in the back of my head going, wait a minute, hold on. I believe something did say about unlocking with the raids. And I'm looking to see, you know, while we're here, if I can find that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to unlocking in other games, what's the downside?
The problem is if you're not ready to go.
The other way.
If you're not ready to go, right? If
what do you mean by not ready to go?
If you don't have the currency built up to be able to access, if you haven't moved around like Sorcerer's Stones or things like that, like the equivalent to have your team raid ready versus PvP ready, if you have a club that plays, you're a weekend heavy club. So like the club I was in before I joined Edna Mode's community was a weekend heavy club. They kind of semi played during the week and then they really focus weekends. There are also, I can't remember which game it was, but there was a conversation about you didn't want it overlapping with Club Conquest. Because that would be a problem. Go ahead.
So I did find it. The question was, how will we get raids to launch? And it says within it, Clubs will have an item that is earned by the club's members throughout various game modes. Each player will have a maximum amount they can contribute to the club's total, but once a required amount is reached, a club leader or co-leader may spend the item to initiate a raid battle.
Good.
So and your concerns have already been waived.
I thought I had read that, which is why I had triggered in my mind. But yeah. And I like that. I like that it's going to require the club to work together. It's another, let's face it, it's going to become another metric of, oh, you want to be in our club? You must contribute X amount of raid keys every day, kind of a thing, which is fine because it's going to come from other activities you're already doing. So as long as it's not, oh, you must go farm the raid keys in the raid key farm dungeon and add another thing to my roster, then it's fine. As long as it comes from the other activities, which I believe is what I read. So
yeah,
that will be good.
That I can confirm.
That will be good. So awesome. So where are the other sensational six we covered? And yeah, that was kind of it. The other question we answered earlier. So I appreciate you being here. We're going to let you do your quick outro and tell us all about you and where we can find you and what you've been up to. You have been very busy in the past 2 weeks. So tell us a little bit about that. Yeah. And we'll get out of here.
Yeah, no, I've been very busy with, you know, launching the full community, if you will, now of Edna Mode clubs, because we've grown past our top 40 club into now having three different tiers. So the whole community now is on Discord. One Giant One's a public Discord where we also have my Twitch channels as well. So if you wish to find me, that's the easiest way, is either through the Discord, which we can put the link in the description to this YouTube video, as well as finding me on Twitch, which is Edna Mode_and_guest. That's probably going to be the easiest way. I'm streaming 5 times a week. I can be DM'd on Discord. I'm in pretty much every major Discord in some way, shape, or form, many different separate channels. I'm on Twitter as well, EdnaModeDSA. So reach out if you have a question, comment, concern, inquiry, song, lyric. I'm all about it.
Yep. And all of those links to Matt's Twitch channel as well as to the Discord will be in the description of this video. If you are listening to this podcast, you're awesome. There are a bunch of you who only consume this podcast through audio, which is great.
Thank you.
But if you would like to see that information, you can search Extraterrestrial Gaming on YouTube. That is where this is hosted. And in addition, I need to not plug my Twitch stream because I still haven't worked out when I'm going to stream, but I will start streaming. I don't, however, just stream DSA. I stream Destiny. I stream DSA, I stream Guild Wars, I stream whatever I'm playing. I'm more variety, but you can find me there. And in addition, there are some more podcasts on other things that are in the works. There's podcasts with regards to movies. There's podcasts with regards to just video games in general and a Destiny one that are all in discussion to be built. So I'm going to watch here for that if you're interested in me continuing to talk with other people like Matt, who are smarter than me. That's why I'm the host and he's the guest who knows. So
I'm not smarter. I just know a little bit of a lot. That's all.
Hey, I know a lot of a little. So it's all good. It's all good. With that, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Main Street DSA. Once again,
are you ready to raid?
Because we certainly are, and we're excited that they're coming. But until next time, I've been Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial, on behalf of Matt Strebel. Good night. Good luck. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Love one another. Peace on Earth, Earthlings.